Now go back to 1935, December 15. That last week we have some words. On that day, from early morning today, a strange power has been pushing me to action, not giving me a moment's peace. Sometimes very interesting, no peace. A strange altar has been lit in my heart, urging me to action, and I couldn't stop it. This is secret martyrdom, not only to God, but let Him do with me as He pleases. Completely loose. You know, usually she finds all so much peace, joy, and then suddenly gone. It's a spiritual experience. Do you ever have? Always joyful, therefore sorrowful. Sometimes, some point, suddenly, no lights. You don't know what way you are going. In an abyss of darkness. It happened. He allowed Jesus, God allows it happen. This is our spiritual experience. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. No, Jesus is with you. This is secret martyrdom, not only to God, but let Him do with me as He pleases. My heart is ready for anything. Oh Jesus, my dearest Jesus, do not abandon me, not even for a moment. Although you feel pain, it's okay. But ask Jesus, stay with you. Jesus, you know well how weak I am of myself. That is why I know that it is my weakness that forces me to be with me constantly. I force you to be with me constantly because I'm so weak. So Jesus, level up, depart from me. Stay with me. But this is only a song from the... Okay, on one occasion I saw Jesus in a bright garment. This was in the greenhouse. It's in the garden, no? He said to me, write what I say to you. My delight is to be united with you. A great desire, I wait and long for the time when I shall take up my residence sacramentally in your convent. My spirit will rest in that convent and I will bless its neighborhood in a special way. Out of love for you all, I will avert any punishment which a righteous method you might out you, but might out by my father's justice. My daughter, I've inclined my heart to your request. Your assignment and duty here on earth is to beg for mercy for the whole world. So our mission is not only for yourself, for your family, for children only. Not because she is a nun, that is why she is praying for the world. We are all, your heart must be only open to the world. Not that small for your community, for your people in the Philippines. Yeah, sure. Also for China, for India. Your heart is not limited to. No soul will be justified until it turns with confidence to my mercy. So, stick to Jesus, His mercy. It's most important. And this is why the first Sunday after Easter is to be the Feast of Mercy, right? Feast of Divine Mercy. On that day, priests are to tell everyone about my great and unfathomable mercy. I'm making you the administrator of my mercy. Secretary General, tell the confessor that the image is to be unveiled in the church and not within the enclosure in that convent. It's open. By means of this image, I shall be granting many graces to souls. So let every soul have access to it. So this is the divine mercy. And that is, you know, when you come in, say hello to Jesus. O my Jesus, eternal truth, I fear nothing, neither hardship nor sufferings. I fear only one thing, and that is to offend you. My Jesus, or rather not exist, than make you sad. Jesus, you know that my love knows no one but you. My soul is absorbed in you. Oh, how great should be the altar of every soul who will live in that convent, since God desires to come and live with us. So I think what you meant as convent is our community. So she thought you just started a new convent, but I think the real meaning is no matter where we are, start a new place where Jesus can be the host, the master of the house. Here we are. We are the convent that what Sister Faustina is dreaming to have. We form one community with Jesus. Let everyone remember that if we religious do not intercede before God, who will? That's for the sisters. Each of us should burn like a pure sacrifice before the majesty of God. But to be pleasing to God, each one should unite herself closely to Jesus. So we are one in our, this is our actual convent, huh? So our heart only in Jesus. Only then we can profess the divine mercy to the world. It's only with Him, in Him, and through Him that we can be pleasing to God. Of course, when we say in Him, everything, with Him, with His love, we have to, with His love, to love others. Our prayer is not just center, just personal. Of course, this personal rapport with the Lord, so that we can be a new person to love the world as Jesus would love. So your hand become the hand of Jesus, your feet become the feet of Jesus. You go everywhere, you're with Jesus. That's the point. If you stay just in a chapel for life, doesn't make sense. We come, Jesus, come on earth, just not stay in the crib. Just go out. He go out, Jesus, no, and with the disciples, spread over all the world until the end of the world. No, this disciple Jesus. But we first of all stay with Jesus. One with Jesus. Through Him, with Him. And then with Him we go out. Everything what we do is with the heart of Jesus. December 21st, 1935. One day my confessor, Father Sopuko, told me to go and look at a certain house to see whether it was the same house I had seen in my vision. When I went with my confessor to see that house, or rather those ruins, at a glance I recognized that they were the same as I had seen in my vision. The moment I touched the boards which had been nailed together in place of the door, A strength pervaded my soul like a flash, giving me unshakable certitude. A I went away quickly from the place, my heart full of joy. But it seemed to me that there was a certain force chaining me to that place. I think she was dreaming to be the new convent, not the place of the new convent. I'm very happy to see that everything agrees perfectly with what I saw in a vision. When the confessor spoke to me about the arrangement of the cells and other things, I recognized everything to be the same as had been told to me by Jesus. I'm delighted that God is acting in this way through my confessor, but I'm not surprised that God is giving him so much light. Since God, who is the light itself, lives in a pure and humble heart, and all sufferings and adversities serve but to reveal the soul's holiness. When I returned home, I went immediately to our chapel and rest for a while. So her rest is always in the chapel, not her bed. She first thought go to her bed and rest. When she take a rest, come to Jesus. Then suddenly I heard these words in my soul: "Do not fear anything. I am with you. These matters are in my hands, and I will bring them to fruition according to my mercy. For nothing can oppose my will." So even we do, but Jesus still is in my hand. Christmas Eve, 1935. From early morning, my spirit was immersed in God. His presence pervaded my whole being. In the evening, before supper, I went to the chapel for a minute to share the wafer at the feet of Jesus with those who are far away and whom Jesus loves greatly and to whom I owe so much. Just as I was spiritually sharing a wafer with a certain person, probably Father Sopoku, I heard these words within me: "His heart for me, a heaven on earth." The heart of Sopoku, Jesus told her. When I was leaving the chapel, in an instant, God's omnipotence enveloped me. I understood how greatly God loves us. Oh, if people could at least partly comprehend and understand this, the unity of the Lord. Christmas Day, Midnight Mass. During Holy Mass, I again saw the little Jesus, infant Jesus, extremely beautiful, joyfully stretching out his little arms to me. After Holy Communion, I heard the words, "I am always in your heart." Not only when you receive me in Holy Communion, but always. So not just when you come to chapel, then you see Jesus in you. When you receive Holy Communion, Jesus in you. Always. In the kitchen, in the marketplace, when you sweep the floor, in your own room, everywhere, Jesus promised, "I am with you." I spent these holy days in great joy. So not only come to chapel that she feel the joy, even outside the chapel, but it's important one do the will of God. No, that's more important. If each one of us do the will of God properly, sincerely, truthfully, there's a presence always. Oh, Holy Trinity, eternal God, my spirit is drowned in your beauty. The ages are nothing in your sight. You are always the same. Oh, how great is your majesty. Jesus, why do you conceal your majesty? why have you left your heavenly throne and dwell among us? He can be glorified in big glory in heaven, no? But he stayed in the tabernacle. And the Lord answered me, "My daughter, love has brought me here. And to love, and love keeps me here." So love brought Jesus here, and love keep Jesus here. "My daughter, if you knew what great merits and reward is earned by one act of pure love for me, you would be die of joy. If you knew what great merit and reward is earned by one act of pure love for me, you would die of joy." So Jesus is very happy that we are one mind, one heart with him, expressed before the Blessed Sacrament. So if you know how much the merit, the reward, you would die with joy. "I'm saying this that you may constantly unite yourself with me through love, for this is the goal of the life of your soul. This act is an act of the will. Many times you don't feel to do good, but we have to strive to do good. Many times we have the temptations to do something not that good, but just stop there. Know that a pure soul is humble. When you say you love Jesus and you can't accept any criticism from people, you are not humble enough. So easy to get angry, it's not the person of Jesus, no. Open heart, humble, live like Jesus. Even Jesus, people criticize Jesus, Jesus stay in peace. Because he is always in the Father. We too, we are always in him, in Jesus. Know that a pure soul is humble. When you lower and empty yourself before my majesty, I then pursue you with my graces and make use of my omnipotence to exalt you. So tell Jesus, if you're something wrong, something you don't know what to do, let him solve for you, but with the peace. Once, when my confessor told me to say, "Glory be to the Father," as my penance, it took me a very long time. I began many times, but did not finish. Just more the phrase, no? "Glory be to the Father," so you can't finish. Just more phrase. Because my spirit became united with God. So I never ending. The glory be to God. Glory be to the Father. So, glory be to the Father. Never finish the prayer. And I could not stick to the prayer. Quite frequently, I'm unwittingly enveloped by God's omnipotence and become entirely plunged in him through love. And then I do not know what is going on around me. When I told my confessor that this short prayer often takes very much of my time, and that sometimes I cannot even finish it, he told me to say it right away. Don't meditate so long for one phrase, and then you're for half an hour, you cannot say the second phrase. There, at the confessional, so the confessor asked her to stay here and say the prayer, say the glory be to the Father and Son. However, my spirit became immersed in God, and in spite of my efforts, I could not think as I wished. And so the confessor said, "Please repeat after me." She cannot say just one short phrase, Glory be to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It takes hours to finish. And the confessor answered, now, I say one word and you say one word. Finish. I repeated every word. But while I was pronouncing each word, my spirit would be steeped in the person I was naming. So when he's got a father, already the father is already in her. But the son, already she is living the son so much. So she loses herself in the Blessed Trinity. It's very interesting, man. On one occasion, Jesus told me concerning a certain priest, probably Father Sepulchro, that these present years would be the adornment of his priestly life. The days of sufferings always seem longer, but they too will pass, though they pass so slowly that it seems they are moving backwards. However, their end is near, and then will come endless and conceivable joy. That means the Father Sepulchro is suffering so much at the same time. I think for the sake of divine mercy. Eternity. Who can understand this one word which comes from you, O incomprehensible God? This one word, eternity. We don't understand. We live in time. What is eternity? Well, we think maybe next year, 100 years, 1,000 years, this is our 2020, but it's no timing. As a matter of philosophically, eternity means present. Presence. Now. Here and now is eternity. I know that the graces given me by God are often meant exclusively for certain souls. Awareness of this fills me with great joy. I always rejoice at the good of other souls as if it were my own. Now, on certain occasion, the Lord said to me, I am more deeply wounded by the small imperfections of chosen souls than by the sins of those living in the world. So, when one called for spiritual life, as religious, just even small wrong things, hurt is small than a thief, or someone who used to kill people, hurt Jesus more, the person who chosen by God. It makes me very sad that chosen souls make Jesus suffer. And Jesus told me, these little imperfections are not all. I will reveal to you a secret of my heart. What I suffer from chosen souls, ingratitude, in return for so many graces in my heart's constant food on the part of a chosen soul. Ingratitude. The love is lukewarm and my heart cannot bear it. This love us so much warmth and embraces, and we just reluctant, cold. These souls force me to reject them. Not that Jesus reject people, but we are so cold, he can embrace us. Others distrust my goodness and have no desire to experience that sweet intimacy in their own hearts, but go in search of me off in the distance and do not find me. This distrust of my goodness hurts me very much. If my death has not convinced you of my love, what will? He died for us, for each one of us, you particular. We thought Jesus died for many people, not for you, that particular. But can you imagine if only nobody, only for you, Jesus died for you, what would you think? That you become very special if Jesus died only for you. But it's really true that Jesus died only for you. Only for you. Don't think Jesus, that billions of people, nobody look after you, and Jesus doesn't know you. Jesus already said on his cross, he saw us already there on the cross. The same way at the Last Supper with the disciples, we are there to share his food, his body and blood. Today we celebrate the feast of the Corpus Christi, the body of Christ. This distrust of my goodness hurts me very much. If my death has not convinced you of my love, what will? Often a soul wounds me mortally, and then no one can comfort me. They use my graces to offend me. They are souls who despise my graces as well as all the proofs of my love. They do not wish to hear my call, but proceed into the abyss of hell. The loss of these souls plunge me into deadly sorrow. If a person chooses, let's say, Judah, hurt Jesus most, he left the house, synagogue. It hurts. God, though I am, I cannot help such a soul because it scorns me. Having a free will, it can spoon me or love me. So Jesus gave us the freedom so much that he cannot help. If you choose not to look at him, he cannot help. Make him sad. Whatever can he do? You have the whole freedom to look, to watch or not to watch Jesus. Jesus cannot squeeze you to come to him. No. You, who are the dispenser of my mercy, tell all the world about my goodness, and thus you will comfort my soul, my heart. So ask Faustina to tell the world that Jesus loved in this way. I will tell you most when you converse with me in the depths of your heart. Here, no one can disturb my actions. Here, I rest in a garden enclosed in her heart. So Jesus feels safe. So you be the tabernacle. Keep the host, keep Jesus in you. You are the living tabernacle, no? The interior of my soul is like a large and magnificent world in which God and I live. So a heart only you live, but God in you live together. You are not alone. Except for God, no one is allowed there. Deep in the heart, solely, there is a place where you and God. Of course, it doesn't mean you don't love your parents, love your children. You have to love them. Love them with the love of Jesus. No one can take the place of Jesus. Many times we take God in the second place. Many times we are your beloved in the first place. At the beginning of this life with God, I was dazzled and overcome with awe. His radiance blinded me. I thought he was not in my heart. And yet, those were the moments when God was working in my soul. Love was becoming purer and stronger, and the Lord brought my will into the closest union with His own holy will. No one will understand what I experienced in that splendid palace of my soul, where I abide constantly with my beloved. You know, the word beloved. Faustina used the word beloved for Jesus. Use this same word. Jesus used this word for us. You know that. We are beloved. We are all beloved for Jesus. No exterior things hinders my union with God. Even if I used the most forceful words, they would not express even a shadow of how my soul revels in happiness and inexplicable love, as great and pure as spring from which it flows. That is God Himself. My spirit is so pervaded with God that I feel it physically. You feel the strength, the presence of the Lord, as if just stand by your side. You can hold His hand. My spirit is so pervaded with God that I feel it physically, and the body partakes of these joys. Although it happens that God's touches vary in the same soul, they come, however, from the same source. Different way of expression, but still Jesus. On one occasion, I saw Jesus thirsting and fainting, and He said to me, "I thirst." You know, this word, "I thirst," usually you can find it in the place where the sister Mother Teresa group, no? Of Calcutta. Wherever in the chapel, always the sign, "I thirst." And this is the word Jesus used in this word. No? "I thirst." When I gave Him water, He took it, but did not drink. It immediately disappeared. He was clothed as He was during His passion. So when Jesus in His passion, so for sinner giving Him a cup of water, He didn't drink and disappeared. The word of Jesus. When you reflect upon what I tell you in the depths of your heart, you profit more than if you had read many books. When you reflect upon what I tell you in the depths of your heart, you profit more than if you had read many books. Many times when we time our adoration, we start to read, and then you go out as if it's a library. The chapel is not a library. Maybe sometimes some phrase helps us, but all the time. But if you, for meditation, is another thing. But people use this an occasion for just study is no good. Not the take place of study. Jesus will tell you some phrase, some you can, but all the time it's not a. Oh, if souls would only want to listen to my voice when I'm speaking in the depths of their hearts, they will reach the peak of holiness in a short time. So when you come to Jesus, silence. Be silent. And listen. Jesus speaks to you directly in your heart. Many times, well, you may say, "I never studied theology. I don't know what's God's message and what the scripture, you know." January 8th, 1936, 1 year ahead, and you go ahead. When I went to see the Archbishop, I told him that Jesus was asking that I pray for God's mercy upon the world and that there be a religious congregation which would retreat and treat the mercy of God for the world. I asked His permission for all the Lord Jesus was demanding of me. The Archbishop answered me in these words. As for prayer, I give her permission. And even encourage you, sister, to pray as much as possible for the world and to beg God's mercy. As mercy is what we need, we all need. And I presume that your confessor certainly does not forbid you to pray for this intention. But as regards this congregation, wait a while, sister, so that all things may arrange themselves more favorably. This thing is good in itself, but there is no need to hurry. You know, Archbishop has his own grace of position to see things. If it's God's will, it will be done. Whether it be little sooner or little later, what should it be? There are so many different kinds of congregations. This one too will come to be if God so wills. Be completely at peace. The Lord Jesus can do all things. Strive for the close union with God and do not lose heart. These words fill me with great joy, you see. Just a few words from the cardinal, from the Archbishop, settled the soul. When I left the Archbishop's house, I heard the following words in my soul. To confirm your spirit, I speak through my representative in accordance with what I demand of you. But know that this will not always be so. They will oppose you in many things. And through this, my grace will be manifest in you. And it will be evidence that this matter is my doing. But as for you, fear nothing. I am always with you. And know this, too, my daughter. All creatures, whether they know it or not, and whether they want to or not, always fulfill my will. Now, this is Jesus. If the things I am still many people oppose, if it is the will of God, you will be successful. Okay, for the time being, I'm telling them